Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
All right, friends. Good to be sharing the word with you tonight, and love to take this opportunity just to share and welcome our online listeners who are listening through our podcast via our website. Great to welcome you also. And tonight, if you've just joined us, we've been journeying through the Gospel of Luke. It's actually been a terrific series so far with our different speakers and really encouraging. We're going to delve into a topic tonight that I think affects us all at some point in our life, maybe multiple times in our life. And I've titled this topic, Freeing Ourselves from Needless Worry and Fear. You like the sound of that? I certainly love the sound of that. And we know the scriptures have a lot to teach about this. You know, Paul said this in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything. Hallelujah. Jesus also said, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is wonderful news, wonderful words, comforting words that Jesus and also Paul wants to get across. But perhaps easier said than done sometimes when we think about that. We know the challenge when anxiety begins to bubble up within us and it starts to stir us in. There's a number of situations, and I like this to liken to Proverbs 12, which kind of indicates that anxiety weighs down the heart when that comes across. I recall last year, Mel, as she started out in Bull Creek, I had this issue in my ears. I went to the doctor, which he would diagnose that as pulsatile tinnitus. And so I went into that appointment thinking he'll just check my ears with that ear thingy and it'll be all right. Only to come out immediately with an immediate scan of an MRI, he said we need to get this done and dusted straight away. And I went into that meeting full of peace. And I came out of that full of anxiety and thinking, oh boy, what's going on? And you can imagine what I was feeling, even anxious to get the results the next appointment. And I think there are different moments that creep up in our lives that cause anxiety and fear, particularly when we least expect it. The future seems more uncertain now than it did 6 months ago. And that's saying something in the pandemic that we have been encountering. In an ABC article, they cited the rising costs of food. I never knew this. Maybe you could double check this for me. But iceberg lettuce is double the price now. Did you know that? Broccoli has doubled to $12 a kilo. Now, some of that might not even concern some of you, but things like inflation has increased. If you have a superannuation account, it wouldn't be a surprise if that's not faring so well in the last 6 months. Add to that rising conflicts across nations. We're living in a time that's increasingly unstable. That's the reality we're in. And those things may cause fear and worry in our hearts when we begin to see little things and big things like this. I just want you to ask someone else right next to you this question right now. What do you accomplish by worrying? Go. 20 seconds each. What do you accomplish by worrying? And if you're online, you can begin to think about this question as well. What do you accomplish by worrying? All right. Can I suggest, I'd love to get some answers back, but for the sake of time, can I suggest worry accomplishes nothing? Is it some of you say nothing tonight? Yeah, that's right. But it still is an issue we've got to try and work through. You know, coming back to those verses I cited earlier, Jesus wants us to experience a trouble-free heart. He wants us to be released from any worry that's going to be debilitating or cause anxiety. And so as we dive into chapter 12 tonight, we're going to start at verse 22. I'm going to read from the NIV. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard Vandana share about the parable of the rich fool. And that's the preceding story before these verses. And in that story of the rich fool, that rich man had a singular purpose for his life. His singular purpose was to accumulate riches and wealth. And Jesus is saying, therefore, let us not be like this rich fool, as he called him. Rather, do not worry about your life. Focus on kingdom priorities rather than earthly matters. And he says, do not be anxious. Three things. Firstly, everyday food and clothing. Not to be anxious about those things. You'll see a few verses there, and a little bit later in the chapter, it also talks about that. The second one, issues concerning your life or concerning your health. When it talks about life, it's talking about the length of life, how long we will live for. In fact, Jesus says, verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Psalm 27, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. The Lord will hold us close. Comforting words at this time. The Lord holds us very close. And the third, do not be anxious, is material possessions. Now, a little bit later in verse 33, Jesus talks about selling our possessions. And we're going to talk about that as we get closer. But I want to say this, as we think about those three areas, our Father in heaven really, really cares for each one of us. You believe that? Just say it to someone. Our Father in heaven cares for you. Just say it to someone. Encourage one another. Oh, that's good. Jesus goes on to cite two images, and I like these images. He talks about lilies and grass. Neither toil nor spin, yet our God clothes them. Then he talks about ravens, who neither sow nor store, and yet God looks after them. You know, I don't particularly like ravens, but God loves them and he cares for them. And the thing here is God does that for them. How much more will he do it for his prized people, the people he really values, his children? You know, Gordon Kirtley lists the top six things that people tend to forget. Number six is faces. Number five, what was said. Number four, words, and three, telephone numbers. Number two, where something is. And before you put it up, Mark. we didn't rehearse that at all. You already knew. Oh, good, you already forgot. So number one is names. You ever forget someone's name? All the time. And even in the course of conversation, if someone introduces themselves to you and you go, what was their name? I wasn't even listening. God not only knows our names, he'll never forget it. He cares for us. Matthew 10 says, the hairs on our head are numbered. And God knows us intimately. He cares deeply for you. And he's saying, I care for you. Let's not give in to anxiety and worry. So all of this is to drive to Jesus' main point in verse 31 and 32. He says, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do you notice those last words? That he's pleased to give you the kingdom. He's not only pleased to give us everything we need, and dare I say, some wants occasionally, he actually is so pleased that he wants to give us the kingdom. And this kingdom will last forever and ever. And Jesus says God's kingdom is worth seeking. As I think about seeking God's kingdom, I like to just put in some different words that kind of help to make sense of that. There's a scripture that says make every effort. I think that's a great word to put in there. Make every effort to seek the kingdom of God. Or do your best to seek the kingdom of God. Strive with all God's strength to seek the kingdom of God. And what does it mean to seek God's kingdom? I think there's at least one clue in the text that follows shortly that will emphasize a commitment to a simple and generous life. You know, one of our DNA, can you just see our DNA down there? Number four, just shout it out. A life of simplicity and generosity. That's one of our DNA. I love that DNA because that's our commitment as a church. And this is the little descriptor that goes with it. We see a church committed to a lifestyle of Christ-like freedom and simplicity. Therefore, the way we live and worship is designed to enhance and empower sacrificial, generous living. And I think part of that comes from these next verses, some very challenging verses, mind you. Verse 33, sell your possessions, Jesus says, and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a challenging verse, isn't it? In our particular culture, our society. But I want to say this. I actually, when I read the scriptures together with those preceding stories, I think Jesus is doing something here. He's comparing two lives. He's comparing, on one hand, the life of the rich fool. And we remember the rich fool had one singular purpose, to accumulate wealth. And on the other hand, he's saying, actually, over here is a life of simplicity and generosity that pursues the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying, pursue God rather than material possessions. And where our Lord and Saviour becomes the focus of everything we do and everything we own, but actually belongs to Him. That's actually a freeing mindset, that everything God's given to us actually is His anyway, at the end of the day. I wonder if you've heard of a 19th century American painter. Love this story. His name is Whistler. And when Whistler was at the height of his artistic career, a wealthy patron came and purchased one of his pictures on the condition that the artist would accompany him home and help him select the spot to hang that picture. Once at his mansion, the man held up his picture, first here, and then there, and then over there, and said, "How about this?" And finally, Whistler said, "You're going about this all the wrong way. What you must do is remove all the furnishings from the room, hang the picture where it will be best displayed, and then arrange the furniture in relationship to that picture." And he was saying, many would like to add God to the furnishings of their lives. But what he requires is that he becomes the focal point. He becomes the priority. He becomes the kingdom of God as we seek and follow him. And all the other stuff doesn't really matter. It's actually what matters is him. And honestly, when Jesus is placed at the focal point of our lives, I actually believe we're able to keep fear at bay. It doesn't mean we won't experience fear or anxiety or worry. I think sometimes that's just a human condition. But what I think placing Jesus at a focal point does, it's able to keep fear at bay. Jesus in verse 32 said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I want you to hear those words again. Do not be afraid. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Do not fear. It's a command, actually. It's a reassuring command that Jesus is in charge. I love what the commentator Butler says. He says, "Surrender your fear. Do not let anxiety rule your life. Trust the Father. The delight of his life is to find ways to give not just daily needs, but his whole kingdom to you. Kingdom heirs don't have to worry about the small stuff." Like that. "Do not be afraid," Jesus says, "for I am with you." And there's three things I want you to take home tonight. Here's the three coming up. Seek God's kingdom. Just say it out loud. Seek God's kingdom. Stop fear in its tracks. Trust Jesus. They're the three things I want you to hold on as we bring things to a close tonight. Anthony Zabolski wrote this wonderful little illustration, the African impala. Have you ever seen these animals jump? I think hopefully this video might work, Mark. Just click. Oh, yeah, let that go. There's the African impala. Amazing little animal. can jump to a height over 10 feet, cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. These things can jump. And yet these amazing creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall this high. Because the impala will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the man-made enclosures of life where only fear allows to entrap us. Some nice African music going there as well. That's wonderful. Just move on, Mark, I think. That's great. So we seek God's kingdom. We stop fear in its tracks. We trust Jesus. And that's the best advice anyone could give. Let's look at three practical ways we can apply this together as we go into our week. I love this verse from 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In the moment when worry or fear begins to creep into our hearts, we can be assured that when we give it over to God, he cares for us and he takes that from us and he holds that for us. I want to encourage you this week to monitor that and to cast your cares on the Lord. The second one is to daily seek the kingdom in your time, resources, and energy. And I think to do this effectively, I think it's helpful to think maybe what is happening tomorrow, to think the day before or the night before. And as you think the night before, for example, tonight before you go to bed, I want to ask you to do one thing. Is you look at your day tomorrow and you decide, wow, that's my day. How can I prioritize God's kingdom? How can I trust Jesus for the things that are coming across my day? Just as you go to bed tonight and prioritize the Lord in your plans. That's daily seeking the kingdom in your time, resources, and energy. And the third one is to allow generosity to grow in your life. Jesus said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. That's a challenge we need to take seriously. Not easy. But we also have to ask the question that goes with that. What does that look like in our setting here in Australia? Because most people that I encounter, and we do work with a disadvantage, most of the time they actually don't need possessions or furniture or those sort of things, only occasionally. They have enough. But having said that, a lot of believers both here and overseas have increasing financial pressures placed upon them. And so tonight, what I want to do is I actually want to put out something that we've been praying into for about 6 to 8 weeks in terms of our leadership and personally. And we've been praying about what the Lord wants us to do as a church community in terms of our global faith target. You ready for this? Oh boy. Okay. You ready? Okay. So, I want to say, just for some of those who are new with us tonight, one of the things that we have been looking at is our two funds of giving. Now, I want to say this from the outset. We hardly ever talk about giving in this place. Only when we are saying, hey, this is what we believe God wants us to do and want you to pray about that. And so what we have is we have a local fund. And these cards are on the desk outside where there's some discipleship stuff as well. You can help yourself too. And on the back there, you'll notice two ways to give. There's a local fund, and that goes to support our mission here in Carrawarra. And so budget is about $90,000 a year. Our global giving, which goes to all of our missionaries overseas, particularly our LifeStreams global family, and also some of our people here in Australia, are people who are doing it tough or challenged in their life circumstances, and we've been supporting them over the time. And so this year, we'd love to raise, by God's grace, by God's provision, we'd love to raise $20,000 that we can support our missionaries and our people overseas. I'm going to say I'm very excited about that personally because God is in it, I believe. And our other churches are going to be a part of this. So will you pray about that? Can you think about that? Can you feed back on that to us and our leaders? That would be great. Can I just say, I think there's some creative options that you can begin to think about. You know, our Care Christian Fellowship, Ron, just put up your hand. Ron leads our CCF, and one of the things they want to do is to have a store where they're raising funds for the Indonesia Garbage Dump Ministries. Did you hear that? That's one of the ministries support that we support, Indonesia Garbage Dump Ministries. I want to encourage us to really pray for Ron and pray for CCF, and that's what they're going to do and contribute to that global faith target. Maybe God is saying tonight, sell a possession. That's between you and the Lord, and give to mission. I want to encourage you to pray about this, and there are creative ways we can activate the call of Jesus in this manner. We have to take seriously these commands. But in all these things, as I've said tonight, the three things I've said, can you remind me? Seek God's kingdom. Stop fear in its tracks. I was just making sure you're with me. Trust Jesus. I love what Dr. E. Stanley Jones contributed this final thought. If you haven't heard of this guy, he's a great missionary, Christian missionary and evangelist of the 20th century, travelled extensively throughout the world over 70 years. And he said this, I'm inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land, faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. A John Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that warriors die sooner than non-warriors, but that is a fact. But I, who am simple of mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain, cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. And to live this way is to live in the reality of God. Friends, this week, let us be a people that seeks the kingdom of God, that says no to fear and trust Jesus. And one of the things we want to do tonight is we want to sing one of a beautiful song. It's a beautiful anthem. I want to pray in a moment, but it's a song that is all about Jesus' kingdom. And as we sing this song, I want to encourage us to really belt that out as an anthem together, as a declaration of faith as we head into a new week. So why don't we stand? I'd love to pray. I'll invite the team to come up and we'll share in this way. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you tonight, Lord, this challenging scripture that's before us. And Lord, I want to thank you that you care for each and every one of us. You love us. We are your children. You are our Father. What a privilege it is to call you our Father tonight. And Father, I just want to thank you, every person gathered here. You know the detail of their lives. You know the detail of their hearts. You know the detail of their thoughts that they're thinking, that we're thinking about the challenges that lie ahead. I want to thank you, Lord, and declare tonight you care for all of those details. And tonight, Lord, I just want to pray this would be an amazing week in each of our lives. This would be an amazing week in experiencing the care of God. As we seek your kingdom first and your righteousness above all things. And Lord, just in humility, we submit this global faith target of 20,000. Lord, we just give that to you. This is your business. And Lord, we just pray that you will give us opportunity to support those who are in need, to support those who are poor. And we just give that to you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we just declare that this is your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth, in Perth, as it is in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.